Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
School's nearly out, so we're not using polite language anymore. This has been your obscenity warning.
Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And we're missing Indy because
they are
not feeling well. Today, we are reading Chapter 1 of Melting Stones.
Woo! Ah!
New book.
Almost done!
You let it grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's meet Luvo.
Finally!
Chapter 1 begins with Evie on a ship headed to the Battle Islands, and she is very upset because she is surrounded by water and she cannot feel the stones. And Rosethorn is telling her that she is being a whiny child, and Luvo, the heart of a mountain, who is Evie's new best friend, is like, oh, but this is how children are, and they need to be entertained. And so they're all like trying to keep her from losing her mind on the ship. Why is she on this ship, you ask? Well, because she was at Winding Circle and she beat up some other kids. And so they're like, you need to go away from here for a little while. And so she went with Rosethorn to the Battle Islands. Why the Battle Islands, you ask? Because apparently there's something weird going on with the plants over there. So of course Rosalind's gonna go check it out because she does that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, Evie is literally hanging off the rail of the ship trying to get as close to rocks as she can, and all the sailors are like, stop, you're going to fall off the ship and then we have to fish you out and we don't want to do that. And Dedicate Fusspot, aka Dedicate Murtide, who is also on the ship with them, tries to grab Evie off the rail, right?
He almost does, but...
Yeah, he reaches for her. Yeah.
Okay, I was like, this is the same chapter, right?
Yes, same chapter.
So he tries to grab Evie off the rail, and she smacks him. And Rosethorn...
She doesn't smack... I don't think she smacks him.
Oh, I thought she hit him.
No, she doesn't like to be touched, so she climbed back on board before he touched her, I think, is what it said. Because he almost touched her.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's important that she does not like to be touched. Have I missed anything? I know I've put it all out of order. Pretty short chapter.
Yeah,
well, Luvo and Evie sink to the bottom to explore the volcano stuff at the bottom.
Oh, yes, magically.
Yeah, they're ghosties.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about this chapter. And as you can tell, I don't remember what chapter I'm in.
So, neither do I.
So maybe Brittany should go first.
Okay, I will go first. I have a question starting off. She starts describing the part where she meets Luvo. The way that she described it, I was confused on to whenever she meets Luvo, because she's talking about how her mom sold her. Uh-huh. And then right after she says her mom sold her, she's like, aboard a ship when I wasn't trying to feel the approach of land, I huddled in a corner. There I placed my own stones around me and held my friend Luvo in my lap. So was she saying that this is this present day that she's talking about? Because she goes, my mom sold me and I didn't have a way to talk to anybody. And then doesn't even have like a paragraph break. And it goes right into aboard a ship. I had Luvo with me. I'm like, wait, so is Luvo with her then? Or is she talking about Luvo is with her now? Because if he was with her back then, why wasn't he mentioned in the previous book? So I was confused as to when Luvo showed up. The way this is structured.
Right. I can see from that why you would be confused. It is the present. She left me with no family and no way even to speak to my new foreign owner. That's the past. And then we're back to the present with aboard a ship. It might have been nice to throw in like a now right there.
Yeah. Or just have like a paragraph break to start a new paragraph or something. Cause it was all bunched together. So I was like, wait, okay. It was confused me for a second. My next one is Rosethorn and Lark tell her that she has a choice on whether she wants to go with Rosethorn or stay in Discipline Cottage. I was confused as to why Evie would choose to go when she hates traveling on ship. At least in Discipline Cottage, she could still feel rocks underneath her.
Yeah, but then she'd basically be like confined to the house.
That's true, but she'd still have rocks. I don't know. I feel like I'd rather be bored being able to feel rocks than be out and about not being able to feel my power.
But she's also not going to be on a ship the whole time.
That's true. But
yeah. It's got to be important.
I also just think like this is heavy. Like we see how restless she is on this ship. And like, yes, part of it is that she can't feel the stones, but like Luvo says, she's a young mountain or whatever he compares her to. And it's like, they're restless and they need to be entertained. And so I think there's partially an element of she does not like to sit in one place.
That's fair.
Hilarious because she's a stone mage and that's what stones do.
And so just sit in one place.
But they talked about that in Street Magic as well, where like, I think it was that she was talking and they were like, you talk a lot for a stone mage. Stones don't talk.
Stones don't talk. She's like, I'm not a stone though. I have stone magic, but I'm not a stone. My next one is where Evie calls Dedicate Murtide, but Dedicate Fusspot.
Dedicate Fusspot.
Which I feel called out because he's 30 and he's trying to deal with a crazy kid. Having kids of my own, like, I would be Dedicate Fusspot as well. Like, I see a kid dangling off the side of the boat. I'm like, get your ass back on this boat. I'd be freaking out too. I can take care of myself. No, child, get on this boat. I don't care what you think. Get on this boat, okay? And she's like, oh, he just talks about how he gets gray hairs all the time. He doesn't have the right to be saying anything like that. I'm like, girl, you are the reason that he probably has the gray hairs and he's feeling so stressed out because you are a handful and driving him absolutely crazy. Children, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I have to say, I think the first time I read this book, I pictured her like standing on the rail, but didn't realize that she's like literally hanging off of it.
Like she's dangling off, reaching down. Hanging upside down, trying to reach into the water with her fingers. Like, he has every right to be fussy right now, especially with the tremor that just happened too. She could have easily fallen in, and she's getting all aggravated with him because she's like, oh, he's such a buzzkill. Oh my gosh, he's so annoying. Like, he's trying to look out for you.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I feel like I'm Fusspot. That is me.
I know I brought this up before, but it is really cool how Tammy makes these words up that, like, we know what they are just by context clues, but they don't actually exist in our lexicon. But she still manages to make it work.
Yeah.
And it's impressive every time.
Wait, yes. Are you talking about fuss pot?
Yeah, is that not a real word?
Yeah.
I think it is.
No, yeah. It's not. No, it's not.
I've heard it before.
I've never heard that before.
I've heard it before.
Yeah, I grew up with the
fucking
word
Oxford Dictionary. I thought it was fake.
No, I've heard it before.
What the fuck?
Did you just Google it?
I did.
Yep. I just think Evie's good with nicknames. Jubahuba, Fusspot. Like, I want more books about Evie just so everybody gets nicknamed.
You know why she she is so sharp?
Why?
She's a Rolling Stone.
Oh gosh.
And now I feel like there needs to be a Rolling Stones joke.
I feel like if I would have read this book as a kid, I probably would have been on Evie's side, like, oh man, what a buzzkill. This guy sucks. Right. And now reading it as an adult and having kids. Right. Like, I'm definitely on Fesspot's side.
I don't think stone mages float too well either.
Her bones will go to the bottom. That's what matters. I like the short little description of why Rosethorn talks really slow. Tammy does so good with this, with every book that she writes. She doesn't have to go into long, huge paragraphs, pages worth of stuff to explain what happens in previous books. She just has quick short sentences to get to the point real quick. It talks about how the kids brought Rosethorn back to life. Oh, she was dead for a little bit, but they brought her back to life. It's fine. When Murtide criticizes Rosethorn, is like, I don't know why you support her. She's only a child. I am a dedicate mage of Winding Circle. I am far better able to judge the movement and manner of power below us. Like, sir, you are 30 years old. You are a dedicate at Winding Circle Temple. Where have you been the past 8-10 years? Like, if you're a dedicate here, you know the crazy shit that some of the kids there can do. So where have you been, sir? Where have you been?
Was he there when they repelled the pirate attack at the place where you worship and work?
Like, right. 8 years ago, you were 30 years old, so you have been there. You've been there. I find it funny that Murtide is from the Water Temple, because in previous books, Rosethorn and Lark always talk about how shitty people from the Water Temple suck. He's from Water Temple, and I'm like, I see where this is going. They're going to butt heads for sure. My next one is when Evie tells Rosethorn, I'm no butter of his. He doesn't have to try and churn me all the time. My next one is, alongside the ship came a long arm of seawater with Rosethorn's hat on top of it. It passed the hat to Murtide, who patted the tentacle as he pet a good dog. So it's just a wave wearing a hat. That's so cute.
I love
that moment. It's just wearing a little hat. It's like, here you go. Here's your hat.
I love that. Wearing it. Like, oh, good water. Good water.
Good job. You look so cute in that hat. Now give it back. Thank you. I wouldn't pet wave with a hat. My next one is when Luvo talks to Rosethorn, because when I first started this chapter, I thought that Luvo, only Evie could understand or hear Luvo. And so when it got to the part where Luvo started talking to Rosethorn, I was like, oh, okay. I guess everybody can hear and understand Luvo, because I thought he was just like a rock that she had with her that only she could hear. So it's like, oh, okay. I guess that's not the case.
Normal rocks speak only to Evie. Luvo is not a normal rock.
That's true.
But I wonder, like, is it just the people that are attuned to magic, or is it anybody?
I don't know.
Who knows? But
We've only seen him talk to Evie and Rosethorn, so who knows?
Not gonna lie, when I was reading that, it made me think like kind of like an imaginary friend situation where if Evie was the only one that could hear it, and she's just carrying around this like funky looking rock thing.
And that's what I was
like, oh yeah, the rocks, yeah, it's definitely talking. We all heard him say that. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking at first until he actually spoke to Rosethorn. I was like, okay, not imaginary friend situation.
I feel like even if it was, like, is that much different from Briar with his Shackem? He carries around a tree that probably pretty much talks to him.
I mean, fair.
Yeah.
Fully fair.
They're very similar, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least with Luvo, other people can actually hear him talk. The only other person that can hear the Shockhand is Rosethorn. Nobody else can understand what the Shockhand's saying. So.
Including Crane, which is why Briar had to steal it in the first place.
Oh, burn. Yep. My next one is when Luvo is being very patient with Evie and tells her to stop her noise.
Yeah.
that her noise is quite grating.
I would like to be able to tell students that sometimes. Maybe I should do that. Your noise is quite grating. Please stop.
The Rosethorn's like, it's called whining. He's like, oh, well, if she can please stop doing that, I can show her something. so much patience.
Really isn't. Like can you swim all the way to the Battle Islands, the sailor called? If not, you better stay on the fucking ship.
Yep.
Luvo, just being a like sentient foot and a half tall gummy bear. Kind of cool.
Yeah. So cute.
I knew that you would like Luvo. I don't know if you remember this, but when we were having our Tortallan Knights discussion, mm-hmm. our last one, and you were talking about how much you liked Chime, I was like, see, the first four books, Goodwin's favorite character was the tree. The second four books, Goodwin's favorite character was the glass dragon. The last three, your favorite character is going to be Luvo.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love it. Listen, I like the characters that need characterization by not being living things. Evie refers to stuff compared to food wise, like when she talks about like why the plants and stuff are dying and why Rosethorn has to go to the island to find out what's going on. Evie's like, that's no bread and salt of mine.
Yeah.
So that's like the second food reference in the chapter. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more, but it kind of makes sense knowing her background. Because Briar tricked her with some food or something to like talk to her the first time, right? Like on the roof.
Yeah, he puts a meal out for her and then he baited her. Come get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which makes sense because he was always sneaking off to Gorse's when he first got to Winding Circle.
Yeah, they're very alike in their food. Forwardness.
They're very alike in many ways.
Evie describing Rosethorn as having to talk extra carefully because she was dead once. I know we kind of went over that, but like that's a really interesting way of describing her speech impediment.
Is this the one where it says something about like
had a trade?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He can't.
Mohan, who guards you always the dead.
Yeah, you always have to trade something to be able to come back to life. You can't just get it for free.
Yep. He has to be his trouble.
I was about to say the Black God, and I was like, that's the wrong series.
There's also the description of when Luvo takes Evie into the sea, that there's grains of rock that have been ground down so fine, and they're like in the currents and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always stone in water. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't sense them, they're still there. Reminded me a lot of Toph from Avatar The Last Airbender when she realizes how to metal bend. Maybe Evie will be able to use water later on because there's rock in the water.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
She's being too nonchalant, Brittany. I think I'm onto something.
I love that Luvo calls Evie Evimene. I love his personality. It's great. And it feels very, like you said, the voice feels very cavernous, or sounds like cavernous, sounds mountain-like. His personality to me feels what I think a mountain would be like. Evie is tough. Briar and Evie are a lot alike. The fact that she beats the shit out of some kids. and Rose Thorn is like, well, they want to confine you to Discipline Cottage because you beat the shit out of them after you disarmed them.
Yeah.
And I was like, this sounds like Briar.
Her pulling a knife on Bus Pot too. Briar like,
knives, Evie, knives. I love the bit about Luvo never getting tired of telling the same jokes and never getting tired of hearing the same answers. Let me see if I can find it real fast.
He's like a dad.
Do you know, Evumeme, that ocean rocks do not swim to the surface? Luvo always said that when he found me hunting for the sea's floor. The hearts of mountains apparently never get tired of telling the same jokes. They also never get tired of hearing the same answers. So I told him what I often did. There's always a first time. The other notes I have are in reference to the audio, because it was audio first, and so I kind of tune into the audio a little bit more. Tamara Pierce, I believe, is the voice of the sailor in the opening line.
Oh, that would make sense, because when I was listening to it, I was like, well, I forgot this is first person, and I was used to Tammy reading it, and it's not Tammy reading it this time.
Yeah, and so I believe that she's that sailor who's saying, hey, kid, get off the rail. And then I think, but I'm not sure, that Murtide might be the same person who voiced Jigors.
I didn't listen to the other book, so I don't know.
Yeah, I will have to, the voice just sounded really familiar, so I will have to like look up some, stir up some credits. But yeah, before we move on to section two, I want to ask you guys how you feel about first person.
It threw me off at first, but 9 books so far has been third person, and now the first time I read it, I was like, whoa, this is weird. But I don't know, I feel like she's always doing something new in each book, I feel like. And so this is just another new thing to do. It's kind of refreshing, I think. I think it's cool.
Goodwin?
It's definitely different. I feel like fantasy doesn't have a lot of first-person viewpoints, usually. I feel like it's mostly third. At least with the stuff that I've read, has been mostly third-person. So I'm like,
I don't know. I feel like so far, with it being in first-person, it could have easily not sounded like Evie at all. But you can definitely tell that this is Evie talking, even with like fishes, because you wouldn't say fishes, but I feel like her background, she would definitely say fishes. So I don't know, even down to that small little detail. So I don't know. It's only been one chapter so far, but I don't know. I think it's a nice change of pace.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme that I found was patience.
That's the one I found!
Yep, because that's...
Then I will indie in their place, but you continue.
Clearly, Evie's having a tough time being on the ship, but like it's temporary. I get being scared and frustrated not being able to feel stuff, but they're heading to a place. Like it's not going to be like that forever, so it would be nice if she could chill out a little bit.
Yes.
And be patient getting there.
Luvo is trying to teach her that, though he would never say that directly to her.
That's not how you teach.
Nope.
He'll get along well with Nico.
I miss Nico so much. I still don't know if he died or not.
I assume he didn't.
He's gone. He's dead.
I would think he didn't.
Quit holding your breath. He's gone.
Considering Triss didn't seem all that upset about it, I don't think he died. Because I wouldn't think Triss would be like, yeah, he died. It's fine. Whatever.
He's gone. I don't know why you're holding out hope.
Maybe this is more of a magic than a theme, but not underestimating people because of their age. Kind of like how Brittany was talking about with Murtide. It's like, she's a child, blah, blah, blah. Well, where have you been the last 8 years when these other children have been running around doing crazy things?
Yup.
I think maybe there's a contrast with how Luvo treats Evie. Less, oh, well, you're a child and I'm going to condescend to you. And like more, well, you are a young mountain. And so I must keep you entertained. But
or you could be very dangerous.
Yeah, but hopefully still teaching at the same time.
You can just coddle them, but yeah.
I guess I'd say that I feel like this chapter is a nice reflection on like how we treat children and how we act toward how we potentially treat them differently than we do adults. Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
The personal magic that I found is to not hang off the railing of a ship while it's in transit, because that's a good way to fucking drown.
Yeah. I love that.
I do too.
Love that.
Yeah, me and Allison have been cruising twice, so I don't want to say we love to cruise, but we do love fucking being on cruise ships and stuff. You hear stories all the time of people like falling over and like getting fucking lost. Don't be near the edge of the ship all the time and you won't fall off.
I don't really hang off of it upside down. Right. You won't fall into the ocean.
Don't treat the ship's rail like monkey bars.
Yep.
Exactly.
So basically, like, follow basic safety precautions.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like that applies to a broad variety of things, not just ships.
I agree. Yep.
But yeah, when you're traveling the ocean, don't fucking hang near the edge of the ship. Like, just fucking don't.
Well, I feel like, you know, similar things, you know, if you're climbing a fire tower, I'm sure there are certain safety precautions there.
Yeah, don't just free climb, use your safety hook or whatever. So, yeah.
Especially if you have stone magic, you'll sink to the bottom.
I was just at a soccer game, you know, there are certain safety precautions that you should take on the bleachers at a soccer game, you know, if there are signs posted, danger, shallow water, no diving, you know.
I don't know. I feel like she has to court the danger because she grew up on the streets and she doesn't have that life anymore. So she has to have a little bit of excitement in her life still. The constant threat of potentially dying around every corner. She doesn't have that anymore.
So she needs the adrenaline rush.
She needs the adrenaline, or she doesn't feel like she's living a full potential life. So,
well, you know. There you go. That's why she had to go on the ship instead of staying at home and discipline.
Yep, makes sense. Perfect sense.
I was going to say, was your magic something about how life is different when you're an adult?
No.
And it's okay to be a fussbot sometimes.
No, that's a really good one, but no, that's not what mine is. Mine is when Evie's comparing her looks to Rose Thorn, and Evie's like, oh, if I ever get interested in romance, I'll have to pay attention to my looks. She's comparing herself to Rose Thorn. She's pointing out all these different things about Rose Thorn that make her beautiful, but then going back and being like, she's so beautiful, but I have this. I'm not nearly as pretty as she is. But if I want to have romantic life later on, I'm going to have to start paying attention to my looks more. Like, girl, no, you don't. You really don't. If you decide later on that you want a romantic partner, you want them to love you for you, not for your looks, because looks fade. You may think that your lips are too wide or whatever, and maybe that's going to be your romantic partner's favorite thing about you. Like, you try to see all the beauty in other people and you bypass the beauty in yourself. I know I have that problem all the time. Like, oh, my friends are so beautiful. Oh, this random person on the street, I wish I had looks like that. No, my husband loves me so much. He doesn't care about my looks. You don't want to go after a person that just cares about your looks, because like I said, your looks will fade. So Evie, girl, you're beautiful. Okay. So stop it.
Love yourself.
Yes. Stop trying to compare yourself to other people, because you're always going to find something that is wrong with you when there's nothing wrong with you.
Maybe she just thinks Rose Thorn is hot.
Well, I mean, that would be another thing that makes Evie and Briar similar, because Briar did have a little crush on her at the beginning. So
Lark and Rose Thorn, like, they're the perfect example of people who love each other for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So this chapter made me think of something that our not quite Cantor talked about at Shabbat on Friday night, which is just like this concept of like being aware that you're not the only person on the planet. Just like, oh, so, you know, when you're in the Starbucks line, remember that the other people in line aren't just obstacles. They're all people too. Or when you're stuck in traffic or whatever.
Traffic. That's a big one for me. Yeah.
And I feel like I got this from both Evie and Murtide here, because he's like, God, this annoying kid. And she's like, I hate the world right now and everyone on this ship, because I have to be on a stupid ship except Rose Thorn, because if I hated her, she would throw me in the well. I mean, to be fair, she's 14.
She's a teenager. Yeah. She's like, how old was she? Was she 10?
She was 10 in Street Magic.
Yeah, she said 4 years, so 14.
Like, to be fair, like, she's a kid, and that's kind of how you are when you're that age. And to some degree, you kind of have to be like that selfish to like figure out who you are and how you fit in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But just remembering that, like, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't be whining, because maybe, like, because there's other people who.
I'm literally gonna be, they said that they're gonna be at the next town either that night or the next day. Like,
right.
No need to be whining. You're gonna be touching ground really soon.
Right. Which I guess just goes back to patience. So, you know, your theme was my magic. I've never been a particularly patient person. I think I've never been a particularly patient person. Some people tell me I'm very patient. I don't know how that works. But.
If it's something like not actively harming someone or something, or like super egregious, you're pretty patient about not affecting people's stuff. Like something that could just be annoying, I think you're relatively patient. But like if it's something like making fun of a friend or something, like you wouldn't take that.
So basically what you're saying is I'm Sandry.
Yeah.
Yes. Which yep. we've established several times.
Just already, yeah, we're just adding to it at this point.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 2 of Melting Stones.
Someone breathed fish and garlic in my face. Hands shook me. A voice made ugly noises that banged in my ears. In the sea, every noise was softened by the swish of water. These noises grated. I flinched. The hands grabbed me harder. I opened my eyes. Terror flooded me. I forgot where I was. I thought I was a captive. A man's face was too close to mine. I couldn't breathe. Was I back in Jiangxi? That was it. I was a prisoner of the Emperor's soldiers. They beat me last time. They beat me again to make me tell on my friends. I screamed and slammed my head forward, hard, on the soldier's nose. Then I lashed sideways and bit deep into his arm. Except his arm wasn't the silk-covered leather of an imperial warrior. I was biting into the flesh covered by blue linen. Make her let go of me, Dedicate Fosspot tried to shake me off. His voice was muffled. Evumeme, you are far from Jiangxi, Luvo said. Murtide, I told you not to lay hands on her. Rosethorn sounded like she was close by. I stopped biting Murtide. My feet were throbbing. They remembered the Emperor's soldiers, too. I thought she was having a fit. Murtide's nose was bleeding. I thought she was dying. I was trying to save her life. The ungrateful brat broke my nose. When I told you don't touch me to wake me ever, because I've been in a war and I react violently, you respected me. For a plant person, Rosethorn could sound like iron when she made a point with someone stupid. Evie was in that same war. She fought as hard as any adult, harder sometimes, yet you refused to acknowledge that she may suffer the same effects. I told you not to grab her. I said she might panic if she saw a man's face too close to hers when she came out of a trance. She is too young to do a mage trance. Murtide groped his pockets for a handkerchief. He was bleeding all over his habit. Looked like a mage trance to me, one of the sailors muttered. Fusspot Murtide glared at her. The sailor shrugged, and she gave me her water flask so I could rinse the taste of Murtide from my mouth.
Ah, Murtide.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening. Let's all have coffee next week. No, she smacks him later.
She smacks him later?
Or like, she headbutts him, and then she also bites him when he wakes her up.
What? No, I remember that.
I know there's a part where he like touches her and she freaks out.
She drew a knife on him. That was it. Because he grabbed her sash and she drew her knife on him. And Rosethorn got mad about it.
Guys, I am so fucked up right now. I read chapter 1.
Did you read chapter 2?
Yeah. Yeah.
You read chapter 2?
Because I read chapter 1 last time and I had it ready, and then I reread and I started at chapter 2 instead of chapter 1.
Okay, so that's why.
She did not smack him. She did not smack him. No.
Not in this chapter anyway. So, oh no.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Evie tries to beat the shit out of Dedicate Fosspot.
Doesn't try. She succeeds.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time.
That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.